This is Fresh Air. The second round of Clarence Thomas hearings has divided the nation into the ones who believe him, the ones who believe her, and the ones who just don't know. But listening to the testimony, many of us are also wondering, is it harassment or harassment?
Professor Hill, the next subject I want to take up with you involves the kind of strong language which you say Judge Thomas used in a very unique setting where there you have the chairman of the EEOC, the nation's chief law enforcement officer on sexual harassment.
Well, let me read from his statement. He said, I cannot imagine anything that I said or did to Anita Hill that could have been mistaken for sexual harassment.
Linguist Jeffrey Nunberg has these thoughts.
All over the country this weekend, the air was ringing with a crack of dictionary spines. The dispute cut across party lines and regions. Hatch of Utah was solid for Harris. Heflin of Alabama and Specter of Pennsylvania were clear harassers. Not that many bets were settled. Most dictionaries give both pronunciations. And anyway, how are dictionaries supposed to decide? It's true that Harris is the older form and the only form used in British pronunciation. But Americans have been using both forms for more than a century. The fact is that Samuel Johnson was the last lexicographer who spoke directly with God. Nowadays, dictionary makers can only listen to the babble of usage. As it happens, I've puzzled over this word in my role as usage editor of the American Heritage Dictionary. A little more than a year ago, I put the word on one of the questionnaires we send around to the dictionary's usage panel. The panel's a collection of about 175 writers and scholars that the editors consult every so often on questions of usage, diction, and the like. It's a diverse group, ranging from William F. Buckley to Maxine Hong Kingston, Garrison Keillor to Andrea Dworkin. It's not supposed to be an academy or anything, but it can give a good picture of what literate people are thinking about the language. The results of this particular questionnaire won't appear in the dictionary till next year, but I can give you a preview. On the word in question, the usage panel split right down the middle. 49% said they pronounced the word harass, 49% said they pronounced it harass, and the remaining 2% said they weren't sure. Actually, I suspect that that last number may be low. If you listen, you hear a lot of people going back and forth on this one. You might have heard Senator Leahy doing that yesterday. What was most curious was that each party seemed to believe it was an embattled minority. One panelist wrote, I say Harris, but it's a losing battle. Another voted for harass, but added that this one's a lost cause. There are quite a few words like this which nobody's sure how to say. Is it schism, schism, or schism? What is it that's human, to err or to err? Or take the word that I pronounce, banal. On this one, I was gratified to see that 38% of the usage panel agreed with me. But 46% say banal, and 14% say banal, and 2% use the old pronunciation banal. Cynthia Ozick remarked that she found the pronunciation of this word so vexing that she avoids it in speech and says trite instead. Actually, that's probably a good idea on general stylistic grounds. So which is correct, harass or harass? Well, either, or either. As usual, W.H. Fowler put it best in his classic Modern English Usage, published in 1926. The ambition to do better than our neighbors, Fowler wrote, is in many departments of life a virtue. In pronunciation, it is a vice. Here, the only right ambition is to do as our neighbors. And Fowler might have added that when our neighbors can't make up their minds, we can do as we please. That's the difference between words and things. Listening to the Thomas hearings, maybe you weren't sure who to believe. But there is a fact of the matter, they can't both be right. Whereas with language, the truth is just an averaging of opinions. Here you can take one person's word or another's.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist with the Institute of Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California. This is Fresh Air.